welcome to the Thought Leader Evolution, where we ask some of the smartest, most successful people to share their wisdom to help us all create a better world and their strategies to help us live extraordinary lives. I'm Dr. Scott Mills, your host for our interviews. If you love this podcast, please subscribe now and feel free to drop by our website, www.drscottmills.com, anytime for more information and resources. Now today, I am super excited to be interviewing a number one bestseller on Amazon. His new book called 50 Ways to Love Your Lover is really taking folks by storm. He is a gifted coach and helps folks find the relationships of their dreams. He is a friend and a colleague that I hold quite dear. So please join me in welcoming Barry Selby. It's so good to have you here.
So where I want to start today with you is we've been asking folks, or I've been asking folks, what it is that brought them to what I think of as rather unusual work. Because nobody I know of starts off when they're little saying, you know, when I grow up, I think I'm going to be a love coach. I'm going to help people have amazing relationships. Like, it's just not even on the checkbox list of lawyer, doctor, right, veterinarian. So tell us a little bit of your journey that got you here, to be writing books about love, to be supporting people all over the country to step into more loving relationships.
Well, frankly, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, no, I never had this plan growing up, although when I look back at my life and recently had this real awakening that I've been doing this a long time, but not as a business. It's been my love to help people have healthy relationships. And in fact, my recently resurrected brand, which is the Love Confidant, came from a conversation with a friend of mine about where I first started helping people. When I was at school, even, I had this, let's be blunt about this. I was a nice guy at school. I wasn't the jock. I wasn't the player. I was more of a geek, frankly. But the women trusted me. The girls at the school trusted me. So they would lean on my shoulder, and I would be the guy with the wet shoulder from all the crying on my shoulder from the girls. But I knew somehow back then that was one of my gifts, and then I put it away. So I had to go to work and get a job. And I've had several careers, from computers to photography to commercial marketing, all sorts of things I've had over the years. And I've traveled through different countries and been in L.A. for many years now. But the truth is, it was 2007, so just about 7 years ago, where I had the biggest wake-up call of my life after the last breakup of a relationship that was the third one in a row, had the same pattern with it. And that was kind of the alarm bells went off. Because I went, oh, hang on a second, this is not about them, it's about me.
And there's only one common denominator here.
Exactly. And I talk about it. I mean, you know, and I've been on a personal, you know, spiritual journey, personal growth journey for basically 30 years now, since the mid-80s. And I thought I knew lots of stuff. And I did know a lot of things about the heart and about loving, about spirituality. But I kept hitting a wall the same way again and again. So I went, okay, I need to do some self-work that's really important now. And frankly, it took me on I've been single till now, so a seven-year journey of being alone with myself, doing specific work about what I call the masculine and feminine polarity, which is what I love most about this work, is having an authentic expression of who we are. But having everything before that, with a background in psychology and in personal growth and in spiritual studies, I see how it all fits together. And for me now, I love seeing people thrive in their heart and in their love and in their relationships. Yes, their careers will get better as well, and their way of interacting with their family and everything else will happen better too, because when their heart is whole, and they're loving somebody, and particularly themselves in relationship, the whole world will change. And that, for me, is the fuel and the fire that ignites what I do.
Beautiful. It's funny that you notice that, just this sense of, as we work with people, no matter what realm we work in, because we're really working on the people, whether we're calling it, you know, in my world, I end up talking about business as a spiritual practice. And I'm shocked by how often, I shouldn't be at this point, I've been doing it for years, I keep getting these comments, but you know, like people say, oh my God, you'll never believe I'm having the best sex of my life, or oh my God, my relationship just improved greatly. So now I actually tell people when I work with them, don't blame me if your relationship gets better and you have better sex, because we're just going to do business coaching. But if these things happen, it's just a side effect. I love, when you say, you're the first person to talk about this, and it's so fun to actually just name this dynamic. I think we have this crazy notion that people are somehow separated inside, as if we're like little pieces of a Trivial Pursuit pie, and there's the love piece and there's the work piece. And so much of this love piece, and this is, you know, the motivation for this day for me, you know, folks have said, like, it's kind of weird, you're doing a love day, you're a business coach. And I was like, yeah, but right. I'm bringing love into the center of my business this year so that it informs everything. So to me, like, whatever we do to open the heart, to open the spirit, the beautiful work that people like you are doing, really it just shifts all of life. It's just harder to market that.
Absolutely. It is, but it's shifting. Again, I think that, as you said, things are shifting this year. I mean, you're bringing love into your work. I think I'm bringing work into love. It's that sense that we are bringing a much-needed guidance, because if you want to talk globally and in a much bigger picture, I think the biggest challenge we have in this world is that we have too much separation going on between people, countries, beliefs, organizations, political parties, all those things, because we don't realize we're one, or that we're loving, or that we're caring. That if we see beyond the illusion of those differences, we'll find out we're all the same. And we can love each other. So that's a big picture, but the truth is it happens in relationships just as much as it does in, well, let's put it this way, nations competing with each other.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous, I love, one of my favorite things is in the astronauts who talked about, the first astronauts who went up in space, and took
yes.
the first pictures from, you know, orbit. And, you know, basically, we look down and we say, well, where are the boundaries? Where are the differences? There's no
exactly.
separation. We're one big green and blue, beautiful planet. And, you know, it feels to me that this is, you know, in this, I think you're noticing as well as I am, this movement that's occurring that we're both part of. And so many of the people
yes.
on the call we've been part of that's, you know, maybe started then, maybe a little before, but noticing the deep interconnections and the need for this kind of work. So I want to dive us in because we're going to have a short period of time and I would talk to you
yes.
all day.
thank you.
Such a fun conversation to have. I want first for you to talk a little bit about the book you just put out. Tell us a little bit about the book and within the book and the journey of writing it.
Okay. I never planned to be an author, first of all. I mean, right now I have a physical book and I actually seen a few in my hands. I'm still stunned at the fact that I actually have a book in front of me that has pages in it that were written by me. So it wasn't my intention to start with. However, about 2.5-3 years ago, a friend of mine who was a marketing PR person said, if you want to be known for what you do, put out on social media and what you do in your emails, what you talk about. So I did in very short, because social media requires fairly short statements and status updates, what I believe about relationships. And over a period of about a month and 6 weeks, I had accumulated 60-something principles that I talk about relationships. Some of them were duplicate, some of them were different, and I had this collection. And I knew there was too much value of information that had just let them disappear off my newsfeed. Yeah, and I put them into a Word document thinking I'll get around to doing something with them, and a voice in the back of my head, I mean, I literally felt this voice go, write a book. And I was like, I don't write books, I'm not an author, I'll do a newsletter or something, but I don't write books. And the voice wouldn't give up. So 2 weeks later, after this voice was banging inside my head, I said, okay, well, if I did do a book, as a supposition, not planning, how would it go together? And what I realized I'd done is I created over 50 at that point, chapter headings. But then I went through and sorted them out and collected them together, and it ended up being 50 that fit. And each one of those became easier to explain because they were just things I believed and what I knew to be true. And I ended up creating 50 principles that became the 50 ways to love your lover. I put them in the right order that generally makes sense, although you can read it one chapter randomly from other chapters and it all tied together in stream because it's not a story. And there's 50 standalone principles that will help individuals and couples have amazing relationships both with themselves and their partners. And it's a labor of love, yes. It's also a message that I know I talk about a lot to people, but now it's in written form. Even more people can read it and find out about it.
If I could only give somebody like 3 chapters that would change their relationship to love, that would move them forward this year. You know, you're Wilson on a little island. I guess Wilson was the volleyball. So, you know,
right.
you're on an island. You just have Wilson in your 3 chapters of your book. Which 3 would you send?
Boy, it's like trying to separate 3 out of 50 children. well, 3 that I'll pick out. I'm going to start with the first one that comes up first. There's one thing I talk about a lot in my work is about being authentic and being aligned to your true nature. And there's so many different avenues, but one of the biggest avenues is that we tend to portray a character in relationship that's not who we are. That we tend to carry our history into our relationships. And it's like playing Russian roulette with romance. It doesn't work. One shot, it might, but most of the time it brings up old patterns. And I've demonstrated to my own dissatisfaction how it works for me too. And so having clarity about, one, where you come from, but two, how you can be in a relationship or you be authentic, so you're not overlaying your partner with the past history of your old relationships or your old family dynamics, but also you're not wearing a mask of something that you think you should be because of where you were brought up. So it's becoming naked on an emotional and an intimacy level so that you have a healthy relationship, and that shifts everything in relationship from just being comfortable into passion, into depth, into connection, intimacy beyond anything you've had before. That's one.
So I want to push you a little bit on this. So the reason I'm asking for three is so we have a focus for our call. And so people will hear three of them and go, I want the rest of that book. So if we start with the first one being authenticity, I just had an amazing conversation yesterday with Sachin and Raja around authenticity, and just friggin' blew my mind. And this word is a word that's getting kind of passed around in development, personal growth and development circles right now, and I think it's got a huge amount of power. But unpack it for us for a little bit, because I'm still thinking, like, is authenticity for folks, is that when you just show up like you haven't showered in a week, like you don't have to take care of yourself, you're just like, I'm being authentic,
there's a difference between being raw and authentic in that context. And one little sidebar, by the way, as I mentioned during a dialogue yesterday by email, Sachin Raj is one of my favorite people. He's a master teacher, and he was one of the people I studied with right at the beginning of this transformation for me, who I credit with being probably one of the biggest pivot points for my own life. So I definitely respect and give props to him for that and to his lovely wife. But getting back to the thing about authenticity, for me, what that really comes down to is that we've been wearing masks most of our lives. And the masks are because we need to fit into a societal model and into our peer groups and into our culture. So even though, I come from England, and it's interesting because I've known people who come from England and from other countries who drop their accent as soon as they get here to fit in. And I didn't do it to stand out, but I just went, this is who I am. Why would I want to change who I am to fit into a paradigm? Which is one of the keys of being authentic, is to not try to change to fit an environment. Yes, you want to be in congruence with the environment, but you don't want to go changing who you are to match something that you're not. So authenticity for me is about taking off the mask of pretense that we tend to put on to fit in. So it's not about being, 6 days past the shower and not having shaved in that long and you're going, is it me being authentic? It is about, though, being true to your heart and true to your inner guidance. And part of that authenticity for me is that, and is the book was that for me, that still small voice inside, as they say it, that little nudge inside that's telling us what we should do, and then we ignore it because we want to fit in. But that voice is our authentic nature. And having the willingness to listen to and respond to that intuition, if you want to call it that, or that authenticity inside of ourselves, gives us the space to express our true nature. So when you meet somebody who you know there's something about them you want to talk to, but you avoid it because you don't feel comfortable, or you think they won't listen, or you have this issue they're on some pillar above you, if you feel something's true inside of yourself and you honor that, that's being authentic to share what's true for you. So authenticity has many different ways of expressing through us, but it comes from within.
So let me play with this a little bit, because I think folks who, when they talk about authenticity, a lot of times when I hear it, and I don't necessarily hear you saying it quite this way, but it's sort of like, well, if people would just be authentic, life would change. And I just want to say that as much as I work with folks and as much as I understand kind of the brain, when folks are asked to be authentic, like just to show up raw and vulnerable, it's got to be like one of the most terrifying invitations that anybody could make of you, because we're so trained from like literally birth on that we must belong to survive. So when folks are really saying, I'm going to show up, and I'm not poo-pooing this. Like, I actually am a massive fan of this idea, but I think it's important that we name how scary and how important it is, so that it's okay for people to take small steps instead of just feel like they do it or not. Like, it's a movement, but it's just, we're so pre-programmed for belonging to be so important. Then when we say to folks, well, just, open yourself up, be vulnerable, it sets off all the alarm bells of our critter brain. Like, we may die if that happens. It's kind of what gets translated in our brain. So can you talk a little bit about, like, how do you see, like, just people moving? Because I know that it's possible, and I think folks don't have a roadmap for, like, what's first? Like, what step can I take, with my partner, with my friends? so that I still get to fit in to the level that's, you know, safe and or not and choose something else. But where do people start there?
I think for me, and yes, I would definitely agree with you because I know how it is not easy to step out, because if it was easy to be authentic and not pain, not challenging to us, we'd all be doing it in a heartbeat. It's that we've been raised to live in a structured environment that we believe is the way to be. I think the first step for authenticity, frankly, is to be aware of yourself. And there's many different ways of doing that, but simply become aware of our patterns, of our ways of talking, even if it's the sound, well, imagine that you're watching next to you what you're saying, so that you can actually capture or become aware of what you're thinking about who you are. Now, none of this is external, so you don't have the risk of being naked to other people, as it were, or vulnerable. But you can at least be aware of your own way of presenting and then going, okay, is that really true for me? And the first step is really to get clear about, okay, am I being real to myself? Am I true to myself? You might find that there's some chasms you've got to leap over, but frankly, if you do that first and take baby steps, you can take a step forward and just realize that when you said something that's not in alignment, you can correct it and be more aligned to your truth. And you can do that gently at first, but it eventually becomes a way of being where everything you say comes from a truer place, and then you express yourself more authentically.
I love this notion of starting with yourself, because it just seems like most of us aren't very authentic with ourselves. I've been hanging out, and I'm sure people hear me saying this in a lot of the interviews, but it's one of my central questions, and it's what has been motivating my shift in my own business this year, is, am I doing what really matters to me? And I've been asking that question, like, literally of everything I do throughout the day. The simple things like making the bed, does this matter to me? Maybe it does. And there's no judgment, on whether it does or not. But just getting clear in myself around what's going on and what's habitual. And there's an exercise. I'm curious, and I'd never even thought of putting this together, but just as you were speaking, I thought of the women that I've talked to who do a lot of work around body image. And they'll often have somebody literally stand in front of the mirror naked. Just them in the mirror, not anybody else. You're not standing in front of a group, you're giving a speech, whatever terrifying nightmare people have about that stuff. But you're just standing there and literally seeing yourself. Because it does, as you say that, I think, wow, if we can't see ourselves, how can anybody else ever see us?
That's exactly the point, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a beautiful place to start.
Yeah, and I talk about that in several chapters in my book about how to be more authentic and be seen more truly for who you are. And then you can see your partner the same way, because it does work both ways. You can reflect to your partner their truth. And some of it comes from not only your own reflection in the mirror, but some of it's from reflection of your partner, too.
Well, and with that, one of the things that – so I had asked Anilala a little bit about this. I think you were listening to some of the call with her earlier about what do we do when we want to shift into these communities of authenticity and truth when it feels like we're going to be alone. Because there are places where, you're going to stand out in your own truth and people are going to not be okay with that. So it is, it's a risk that's real. I also think it's fine. But one of the things she said that was so beautiful is that when you stand in your own truth, when you stand in your authenticity, that the community will form around you, that you won't even have to go seek them, because, at least in my words, you become a light to those around you.
Absolutely.
Take, knocked off the dust, and all of a sudden people can see you and go, whoa, I actually feel like that's people see it and go, that's what I want, because those are the folks in my life that I'm most attracted to, once you're just clear and honest.
Absolutely. And also there's this recognition, it's almost like you're standing on a mountaintop shining a light, and then you see another line of mountains up across from you, you go, there's one of my people. And you just have the resonance that you connect across distances from next to you or across the world, and you just know these are your people. And then you realize that there's more and more of us becoming more real, more present. And truthfully, it may be that, to use the metaphor, that we choosing to be more the rest of our tribe, our family, our community, out from the darkness of the illusion we've been living under for so many generations.
Part of what's really cool that's happening with this is, in so many ways, technology and the internet are disconnecting. And I was talking to somebody else earlier about dating, and we were talking about, folks sit down and they look at their phone and they disconnect. But on the other side of that realm, there this beautiful movement of folks that are starting to connect with each other across the planet, so that we can start to see, even if somebody's like in the middle of nowhere and they don't think there's going to be a tribe, there's some place to reach out to other voices that are authentic. There's some place to seek out people, even if it's just in an internet chat room, which is extraordinarily different than having nobody ever to talk to.
Yes.
So it's kind of an amazing...
That's what technology serves that.
If there is one thing, one bit of wisdom that you could share with folks on this call that would let them pretty much immediately shift their relationship to love, like it's kind of your lowest hanging fruit or most powerful bit of wisdom you could share with people, what would it be?
Boy.
I know it's a tiny question. Take a second to...
Yeah.
Well, I didn't tell anybody I was going to ask them that question.
The simplest thing I can recommend somebody do, and this is such a simple homework assignment I give to some of my clients because it is not hard to do. Well, sorry, it's not difficult to do, but it can be hard to do, is to simply take 5 minutes a day, look in the mirror, and say to the person facing back at you, I love you. And literally stand in the feeling of what that feels like to say it to yourself and look in your own eyes so you connect to the person you are. It may bring up a lot of tears. It may bring up a lot of joy. It may bring up both at the same time. But if you do that on a regular basis for a week, for a month, your relationship to everybody else will transform completely because your fuel is from inside. And that simple act can change everything. It's so simple, it's deceptive. But do it anyway and see what happens.
Wow. That's an amazing exercise. In just 5 minutes a day, I can feel the impact even imagining how people will respond to that. So I would love to challenge folks to take Barry up on that and post your responses. Do a week and let us know, either email us or post your responses on our Facebook page and let us know how it went, because that's an amazing exercise to invite folks to do.
Thank you.
So I want to just thank you. This has been, you know, we dug into one out of 50 chapters of your book, and we could have gone, you know, another 2 days on this one very, very rich piece that you have here. So just so much wisdom and so much insight. It's just a joy to have you. And I'm so glad you didn't give up your British accent, by the way. I think we Americans would love that too. So fun talking to you. So thanks again for being here. This has been a gift, I know, to everyone who's listening, and it's just been a joy for me.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
If you'd like to listen to more interviews from brilliant folks like Barry Selby, please subscribe to our podcast. You can also get more information and resources at www.drscottmills.com, and we'll look forward to seeing you on our next podcast. Until then, be well.